This week on Six Stars Only, we're sharing the best 100% free resources that we actually use to create videos that stand out. From music to motion graphics, we're spilling it all so that you can make better videos faster. Let's get to it. All right, so I'm here on Six Stars Only. This is the podcast I do every single week with my friend Jake Arendt. Say what's up, Jake.
What's up, Jake? Haven't done that in a while, so
I know. It feels good. My name is Matt Woods. I'm a marketer at a startup here in Oklahoma City, and Jake is a YouTuber who does IT on the side as his main day job, and we have been best friends for a while, making videos for the longest time, and we started this show to share what we're learning out with everyone as we learn it. And get just be more proactive about practicing stuff. So today's show is all about free resources that we've used to actually create videos. And we have almost a couple dozen here, quite a few, because we've been doing this for a little bit. But I wanted to mention, Jake, did you know that why these are super valuable and why they're so good and everyone should be using these?
Well, for a lot of reasons. For one, they're free, which is always good. But I think one of the biggest reasons is that these are of high quality and they're not tired templates. And by that, I mean just the built-in kind of text or video or audio templates sometimes in Premiere or in, especially Premiere or like iMovie. You can tell if you've done video work for any length of time whatsoever, you can tell immediately if someone has used that, and it immediately kind of dates and makes it look just amateurish. It just makes it look bad.
I know what you're talking about because there was this one iMovie template that was like the news broadcaster thing that I think stayed the same for four different versions. It's like beep 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 beep,
and like every youth group announcement
session like ever started with that, and like everyone and their mom used this exact same template.
I think my high school for announcements used that exact like iMovie kind of like, you know, man, like the ticker thing, and I get like just Vietnam flashbacks because I had to edit those stinking.
That's great. But how do you feel like when you see people using the template? Because I'm always just like, oh, come on, man. Like you could have found that. Because the thing that I think a lot of people don't know that I happen to know because I've been doing this for a little bit longer is that you can go to a few quick Google searches or have the right websites kind of in your tool belt as a video creator and have way better quality audio, footage, motion graphics, all these things, and it doesn't cost you a dime, and it's just takes just a couple extra minutes of work, but it can make your video, it can bump up your production quality to blow past other people that would otherwise get the attention of your audience.
Exactly. Yeah, and a lot of these, I've used the majority of these, but I actually learned from you, so I'm excited to learn more, because, man, we have a pretty beefy list of stuff that, you guys can use. Beefy list.
That's like a Taco Bell menu item.
Brand new beefy list with Cheetos like or something like just that would not go on a taco, but yeah, there's a lot of them.
I will say too that this list is pretty big, but I looked through this list just before we started recording. I have personally used every single one of these in a video project, and that's pretty nice. Actually, there are a couple that I haven't used in a video project per se, like a couple of the design ones, but I've definitely used them in I've used every single one of these in a creative project, and I've used every single one of these, I believe, for a paying client that I've been doing some type of creative work for, most of them video. And I will say, like, I did a project at my new job. I just started a job doing marketing at this startup called Tailwind, which does create software for Instagram and Pinterest scheduling. And I, you know, last day of my first week, and we were doing this announcement for this promotion we're running. And so it's like, let's just create a quick video. So I grabbed my iPhone, recorded some stuff. It wasn't anything fancy, but I was able to turn it around and use good quality audio, use some graphics, use some transcription because of these tools I had in my tool belt. A couple paid, but most of them free. And it made me look like a rock star. It made me feel so good. And the turnaround time was so just lightning fast. And it wouldn't happen if I hadn't had these all bookmarked in a list that I carry with me from job to job. So,
and I think that's like the ultimate test for how good these are is if you can use these for a client that is paying you for it and they can't tell it, or it's not like those tire templates where it's like, if I were to edit a video for like a client of mine and I used that crappy Windows. I mean, I would hope they would know. Yeah, like the Windows Movie Maker news ticker sound.
Every transition has to be like the blow apart one, you know, like the, like the shattering pieces,
like star wipe. But that's super cool. Yeah. And that's I've used the majority of maybe not all of them. There's a lot you'll probably have to explain. But yeah, used for paying clients a lot on my own videos. So you mentioned my YouTube channel. I use a lot, especially the video, the free video sites, which I mean, I guess you can just hop right into it. The first ones. So
yeah, for free stock video, I'm really excited.
Yeah, definitely. So for free stock video, for one, free.
Also, what would you use a stock video? What have you used stock video for in your projects? I can tell you what I've used them for, but what have you used them for?
Well, I guess a lot of them. So the formats for my videos, especially the kind of satire food review videos. So I do voiceover and I'm talking about, I mean anything.
The Quick Trip Wars.
Yeah, the Quick Trip Wars.
And Quick Trip, yeah.
And a lot of it I just use, like, I need to type in people eating or, you know, something else. And Pexels, so I guess it's Pexels.com or videos.pexels.com. Adobe Spark, which I haven't used Adobe Spark. And Giphy, which I use Giphy for GIFs. Those are three really good ones. I use Pexels a whole lot. And it's a high quality. It's not just like, so in the past I would, and I hope I don't, you know, like I don't get in trouble, but I would just go to YouTube and like rip off, you know, okay, I need a clip of for so-and-so show and, you know, I'd plop it in my timeline on Premiere, but, it's like really grainy. It has like 4 pixels max. Like it just looks awful. But on Pexels, it's just professional quality stock video.
Yeah, so you go there and it gives you all this Creative Commons video that you can use for any personal or business use, and it's searchable and it's very high quality, like HD. Some of it I think is even
exactly
4K. Is any of it 4K? I don't know, but it's very high quality, and it's a lot of like nature stuff, a lot of like people walking, a lot of stuff that you can use like in the background of a website, or you can edit it up and use it in a trailer or something.
Yeah, and basically anything. It's such high quality that I'm kind of cheap, and I, you know, for a fast turnaround, I film stuff on my iPhone, or I get on my Samsung. I don't have an iPhone anymore. But the stock video is such a high quality that it kind of like looks better than my own. So I have to like be careful, like, you know, sometimes of the of, you know, what I pick. But it just looks great, and I would highly recommend it, especially if you do any sort of voiceover. Basically, I mean, it depends on what you're searching, but it just, I mean, I'm looking at the website now, cooking egg, throwing ball at the pool, man doing pull up. It just, there's such a huge, huge, huge variety that you can find something for your project.
Wednesday morning.
I mean, I was throwing a ball at a pool for hours and hours.
Yeah, I've also used these. If you've seen those websites where you're using like a really neat video as the background, I've used these for that a lot of times, if you know someone doesn't have video assets of their own. I've also done things, and this is kind of leads me into Adobe Spark. I've kind of combined the two. So I'll go grab high quality videos from Pexels videos, and then I'll go and use them in Adobe Spark. So Adobe Spark is this lightweight tool made by Adobe, totally free, where you can basically create these high quality sort of templated video slideshows. So this would be more if you have a business or a friend and you need to create like a quick social media video teaser for something, or a quick, you know, just like a 15 to 30 second promotion for something using video. Maybe you want to overlay some text over it. You want to put in a quote or do something like that. And you want some nice video in the background, but it's not worth, you know, hiring a crew or taking a few hours and going and grabbing your own video. It's just going to, you're just going to be using it as very disposable kind of video. Or you're going to be like putting an inspirational quote over it or something, or making a list, repurposing content. Adobe Spark can let you add in those videos, add in any other photos, and at the, and you can change the text. You can add and remove things, kind of like a slideshow, but using video instead. And you can then export that and get this great little video. And you can even pull in other resources inside of Spark if you like any of them that they link to automatically. And it'll automatically add the attribution at the end. And that's another thing that's really helpful with a lot of these videos. You do need to check the licenses. And this is good for the, you mentioned the, oh, well, I get in trouble, you know, if I use a YouTube video that I downloaded. The answer is no, but Sometimes yes.
Yeah, and sometimes so yes.
This really goes back to something called, you know, well, now my mind is totally blank, but it goes back to basically free use.
Yeah.
Essentially, where like you are allowed to use other people's work as long as you're not blatantly ripping it off or just broadcasting someone else's work. So I can't, if I'm talking about, you know, Avengers Infinity War, which came out recently, I can't just play 20 consecutive minutes of Avengers Infinity War with, you know, the false motive that, oh, and then we'll talk about it. And that will be my original contribution. No, you can show like an 8-second clip. That is no problem at all. You can show a brief, you know, little clip and then talk about it or preview it or use it as a meme or mix it up and do a voiceover track of it, but you have to sort of remix it or you have to add value on top of
it. You have to do something with it at the very least. I wrote a term paper on that. It's a shame that I don't remember more aspects of fair use and, you know, free use, but yeah, basically you just have to change something with it. But yeah, man.
Yeah, and I will say also, this is a little bit nerdy. We're going into like deep territory here, but if any of you are comfortable using the command line, my actually favorite tool for downloading YouTube videos directly or any kind of video is something called YouTube-DL. This is something, like if you've ever seen those hacker movies where people are typing in all these lines of code to the computer and it's doing stuff, that's using something on your computer called the command line. And it's built into like any computer running OS X on a Mac. It's built into Linux. It looks a little bit different on Windows computers. But basically, you can go and download YouTube-DL, and I'll link this up, using the command line, and you can basically run this command YouTube-DL and you can give it a link, and it will, and you can also, if you understand what you're doing, if you're super tech savvy, you can give it different options, doing like -F is like, I think, setting a certain file size or file type, and you can look up in the documentation what these things do, but you can very quickly in just a couple of keystrokes download any YouTube video at full quality and just have it end up there. Because, you know, if you've ever been like me, you've been trying to find a tool that does this and you end up on some weird like spammy site and it's like throwing pop-ups at you and it's probably stolen your credit card. You didn't put it in there, but it probably just like scanned your house and like looked at a reflection. Anyways, they just like make you feel scummy and weird and they're all kinds of insecure.
Definitely.
But having a good tool in your pocket that can download that, if you're grabbing videos and chopping them up for fair use like that, like you, both of us do, a tool like that can be very helpful if you are super tech savvy. I think there are some other paid tools that you can invest in that will do the same thing.
Definitely.
And are a little bit more user-friendly.
Man. I'm learning.
There's one other tool that I use. Can I talk about Giphy for a second?
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
Because I've actually used Giphy a little bit differently than most people do. And so one little known use for Giphy is you can actually pull out a video file from any GIF that is hosted on Giphy.
Huh.
And so if you go to a GIF, so if you search, you know, just like, you know, computer success kid, you know, the kid who's, you know, giving like a thumbs up at the computer.
That John Rambo or John Rambo.
John Rambo.
Billy Rambo. It's something along those lines. But anyway, John Rambo GIF, he's doing that.
Grew up to be John Rambo. No, it's one of my favorite GIFs. So you can go find that GIF on Giphy.com. And actually, let me do this just to make sure I'm stiffing you right. And when you go into the options on that, you should be able to find this option under media to download it as an MP4. So you'll see this MP4 link. And if you go, you know, save as or download that, you actually just have a video file that will play that GIF. And so you can take that and you can, usually it'll be relatively small unless it's just a super high quality GIF. So you can't use that like you would stock video. But if you are creating something a little bit different or like throwing it up on like a vlog or a YouTube video, like as a reaction, it can be really fun to just pull that in. And if you're already working in video, it's easier to do that than have to pull in a GIF and try and convert it and do other stuff. And so sometimes when I'm just trying to get a quick reaction, or even if it's a large enough GIF, you can use that in like a Facebook post or put that on social media or do other things when a GIF will just not play nice because sometimes they're just odd. Sometimes pulling that MP4 and using the movie file can kind of be a lifesaver. So I've done that a few times.
Man. dropping knowledge bombs. I'm learning today. Well, I wasn't expecting.
That's my goal. Speaking of dropping bombs, can I tell you a little sad story really quick?
We don't have
ads on this show. So this is like, I guess, an anti-advertisement. You just have to listen to me tell you about rant about something bad that happened in my week. So I'm drinking. Can you tell everyone what I'm drinking right now, Jake Arndt?
It kind of looks like vodka. I'm just kidding. Water of something. Hard week.
Suddenly, a lot of things about this podcast started making a lot more sense. No, so it's this really pretentious. It's like the OG LaCroix. It's Mountain Valley Spring Water. And this is from a vacation that me and my wife just took in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where they have this store, and like for like decades and decades, they've had this natural spring water and it's sparkling and it was really cool. And we're excited. We did like a little water taste testing, which is the
so bougie,
most pretentious thing I know I've probably ever done in my life so far. So we got this water and I was excited because I got some for you. And so I got a couple extra bottles and I was like, oh man, Jake's going to love this. And so we went there twice. The first time the cashier who's checking us out had been there around the block a couple times, right? And so she grabbed, you know, we're grabbing like a couple like good liter bottles, and these are all glass. This isn't like cheap plastic stuff. Like, listen to that. Not me hitting the mic. The other
man, that
sound.
Sounds super hollow.
Yeah, it's super hollow glass. No, it's solid glass and it's pretty heavy. And so they like double wrap it in the bags, and that's how it doesn't break, and you carry it along. The second time I went back to get your water. There was no such double wrapping on the bags.
Oh,
there was a single
goodness.
Wrapping on this cellophane bag. And so I thought, well, they've done this before as well. I'm sure it'll be totally fine. So cut to about 10 minutes later. I'm just dandily swinging my cellophane bag of sparkling glass water, you know, down the street. And we stopped to like look at this bath shop. And everything. And so there's all these people inside milling around buying like $12 soap or whatever they do in that shop. And right as I'm about to like open up the door, I hear this like ear splitting shattering sound, like psh.
Oh,
and I look down, and much to my horror, like both bottles have fallen immediately through the cellophane bag, exploded all over the ground. And so there's all this glass and everyone has like stopped on a dime and is just staring at me.
Staring. Oh, that's the worst.
And it was the most shameful sparkling water experience of my life.
Oh my gosh. I'm so disappointed.
I started trying to like scrape it off the ground with my hands and like just like shuttle it over to the trash can and dump it in. And everyone's watching, just like shaking their heads.
Did anyone help you? Like was no employee in the bath shop being like, oh, do you need me to...
I wish.
Hot springs, what the heck?
Some sparkling water, good Samaritan, no such luck.
What does Mountain Spring or whatever it's called, how does it compare with LaCroix and the, really only that and Perrier are like the sparkling. This is turning into a totally different like topic of this podcast.
I know,
but
sparkling water weekly.
This is really important to me. I love LaCroix. I had a pretty much a Tower of Babel in my dorm room of just empty... cans.
You got us retweeted by the official LaCroix Twitter account.
That we did.
Life goals.
I'm proud of it and also simultaneously not proud because my something health-wise must, like, all that carbonation, because I must have drank at least half a case, not a case, geez, half a, like a 12-pack a day. But yeah, if anyone's watching this from LaCroix, please sponsor us, by the way.
Please sponsor us.
That's my takeaway, yeah.
Anytime. All the time.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. They had a blackberry flavor, which was quite refreshing and good. Packaging, aside from being very anti-plastic bag friendly and very difficult to transport, it's kind of cool to drink out of a nice glass bottle instead of the little tin aluminum can. Taste-wise, I still like the flavors of LaCroix better, but it is... I mean, it does taste... I mean... pure, I guess. It's like this, it's springy, so it's a little bit different with like the plain water flavor, but that's not the sparkling water. No one does that.
I have a soda stream, and I make...
if you're one of those people, you can call us. We can talk to you, you know, talk you off this plain sparkling water thing. I can't as a last ditch resort, sure.
Drinking lime flavored, you know, like
that's okay.
LaCroix is great. Encouraged. And going to, you know, from that to unflavored, just my tongue is so sad. It's such a pathetic just change of aw. Like that's like the best way I could describe unflavored sparkling water is aw. Like it's like fruit striped gum, but just in a water form. It's like, it just, it's why would you unflavored sparkling water? Just does not make sense to me.
No. Travesty. Anyways, that's my sparkling water story. Yeah. Anyways, sparkling Mountain Valley water, not bad. Worth a try as long as you know how to carry it in a bag. Double wrap, people.
I really want it now. Like you sold me on the Mountain Valley sparkling water. Okay. Since we got the sparkling water out of the way.
Speaking of things in motion, like my bottles hurtling towards the ground, Jake, why don't you tell us about some motion graphics?
Definitely. So a huge thing to kind of make your videos pop and separate your videos from someone else is After Effects. It's graphics, and there's two sites that have
also,
free...
Also, what is After Effects?
After Effects.
If, so, I don't, if I've never heard of that, yeah, what so is that never, and why would I want it?
Essentially, it's part of the Adobe suite, and I guess, how do I describe it? I guess I'm just used to using it. You use it to essentially make like lower thirds or graphics, and I guess you can get super involved, but
yeah, like, the so way like any it, titles any or title, effects exactly, or like text. Transitions or like you know, effects on the screen. Mm-hmm. Like if you've seen someone make like a lightsaber thing and like
yeah,
some fan-made
that's
video,
done
they probably
After
use
Effects.
After Effects
yeah.
in some way.
There's
yeah.
a pretty good chance. And like you can get really involved and some of the effects can be really daunting. So I didn't really know how to use After Effects whatsoever until maybe a year or so ago. Like I knew how to do editing and like Premiere and Photoshop somewhat, but After Effects just always seemed like this super complicated, almost daunting mountain of like, I don't know how to do that. Like I opened it up once and I had a class in college and I didn't know what was happening. And I was like, okay, I'll never learn how to do this.
It's like stumbling into the Apollo 13, like mission
exactly.
control. There's all these things and nothing works. You're
all,
like, I
all these
do not
key
belong
frames,
here.
All these things, all these buttons. And I was just like, what is happening? So I just closed it. And then I think actually with you, Matt, I think you showed me, hey, like there's like these After Effects templates. And one is Rocket Stock and Motion Array are two of the ones I use. And I want to open one up, actually, just
wait,
look
so
at it.
So how does using a template for something like After Effects differ from like making your own effects from scratch?
Well, like with most things on this list, it just cuts out the time infinitely. I can't even like, I guess, quantify. Well, they're pre-made graphics, essentially. And you can go on Rocket Stock, for instance. And there's a lot for lower thirds. And there's just kind of like packages of, okay, here's lower thirds. And it comes in like 15, 20 different kinds, different colors, everything, logo effects and everything. And essentially, once you download it, you can open it up in After Effects. And after that, it's surprisingly simple. It's so much easier than I would have ever thought. Like, okay, there has to be some sort of hard work involved. Basically, for instance, there is a free logo reveal one, so I can just download it. And basically, you just, once you download it, you can just put your own logo instead of the one that they have on there, and you put it like say on your timeline on the a Premiere project, and it looks super legit. Like it does pretty much all of these super detailed keyframing and, you know, motion, everything, and it's just already built in, and it just looks, I cannot get over how good a lot of these graphics are that are free. There are some, you know, you can go and buy some templates that are $30 or more, or you know, even more expensive. But especially like just for a logo or effects, like there's one of like the Twitter logo. Titles are huge. Say like, let's say you have a video and you want to say, hey, you know, follow me on Twitter. And there's, I think maybe you showed me, or like I guess I downloaded it, where it just has pretty much free icons, like these icon motions where like they just look really poppy. I can't really explain it. Just go on Rocket Stock or Motion Array. And I guess just look for yourself, just kind of browse around and mess around with it. They look super legit and they're not really hard. If I can learn how to do it, anyone can. Let me just say that. But the biggest thing is that having text, having titles, having lower thirds on any kind of video, especially a vlog or if it's a client video. So I use these a lot for client videos. So they're talking about, let's say their carpet cleaning company. Well, who is this talking? You can do, you know, you can use the built-in Premiere lower thirds, but it looks not very good. You can tell. You can kind of cheat it and make it look, you know, decent depending on the font, but just the built-in Premiere doesn't cut it. But if you just do a little bit of time and just a little bit more effort, use one of these logo or these graphics from Rocketstock, make that lower third just look super legit. It just comes in, bam, you know, Susan Collins. I don't know why I picked the name. Let's just say that's her name. It just looks super legit, and it just it raises the production quality of your video like exponentially.
Yeah, and I'd say the great thing about a template like this is, number one, it saves you so much time over animating all these keyframes by scratch.
I cannot illustrate how much time you save.
Exactly. Or if you're not a designer or you just don't know how to do a certain effect, you can buy one or find a lot of times a lot of these are free. You can get a lot of really good
effects. A lot of them are free, yeah.
And you can usually swap out the color so that it's branded to your company. You can swap out certain things so it looks different. And another thing is, like, a lot of these are things I wouldn't even know to look for. So I like just going to Rocketstock, or which I think is owned by Adobe, and they just give away a free template every month. So some, like, 1 month it was just like these animations that make it look like you're doing the iPhone text with the little bubbles. And so you can, if you've ever seen like a TV show where people are texting in the show and then it's showing you like on the screen the animated sort of like video version of that overlaid, you can create your own version of that, and that's super fun to play with.
That's super nice.
And usually, yeah, it's as simple as like opening up that project file, changing a couple settings, and then putting in your own text,
and it looks super legit. I wish I had known about this in college, because I had to do an effect just like that, you know, like that iPhone kind of like that text kind of like bubble motion. And I had to cheat it because I had to pretty much build it from scratch because I didn't know what I was doing. And it looked like absolute garbage. Had I just known and done like a little bit of research, I would have figured out, oh, there's a free template that does that exact same thing. And it just makes it look so, for such little effort that is involved, it raises the quality of your video so high. So, like, if you're doing a vlog, for instance, and you don't have a lot of time to spend, or you're not super creative, you know, like, if you don't know how to, like, design something, just, bam, throw one. It sets you apart from everyone else's vlog. It sets you just exponentially higher than everyone else's video for very little effort, and they're free. Like, not the majority of all the ones. I've never paid for one, and I've used a lot of them, so I cannot speak high. I cannot speak higher of those free resources. And I kind of mentioned earlier about how, you know, you can cheat a little bit in, you know, like the built-in, depending on the text and like the typography that you have. Matt, can you explain, for one, where you can get good, I guess, good fonts, and why it's important? Because this is really important to me, because I have a story I'll share here in a minute. But why is a typography really important in a video?
Yeah, it's typography is super key. But if you think about it, we use the written word to communicate so much. Even in video, which is so visual, a lot of times you have title cards, or you'll have subtitles, or you'll have an explainer video where you're using words. And so how those words are presented, how it looks, like, it, if you show something in Comic Sans, it's going to communicate something very, very differently than if you use this, like, very, like, clean, professional typeface, depending on what you're going for. I mean, if you're, you know, but if you're like, oh, it's like, oh, and now announcing the President of the United States, and it's in, like, Zapfino, or just some, like, Wingdings, or some crazy font, it's not going to match up. The tone you're going for is going to be ruined, and the impact of what you are trying to do is just totally, it'll totally take the wind out of your sails, because you
definitely
didn't pick the right font. Yeah, I was gonna say, this is really hard, because I get super overwhelmed, or I used to get super overwhelmed when I was picking a font, because you have all these built in to your, you know, all these fonts built in by default to your computer, but a lot of them either everyone else is using, or you don't know which ones to use, or you don't know how to pair like a title with a subtitle with like smaller text or things like that. And so I usually like to use Google Fonts when I'm finding free fonts, but the way I pick those Google fonts is I use this website called TypeWolf. So if you just Google, you know, TypeWolf Google Fonts, you should be able to find some free resources to do this. So this is a guy named Jeremiah who has just spent a lot of time creating free font pairings, including with lots of different fonts, but especially ones on Google Fonts. And so you can find out, okay, you should pair Open Sans with this body font, or you should pair this, you know, title font with this other one. And it can really, really help you step up your game and find unique and good pairings, you know, large and small typefaces, and also ones for different moods. So if you're going for a more serious mood or a more fun mood, you know, he can find, help you make ones that go well together and don't clash or detract from what you're trying to do. Yeah. Well, what was your story about?
Yeah. So my story, and it's super short, but basically how you mentioned how, we use the written word so much, and it sets a tone, I think, a lot more than people realize and a lot more than I realize of, like you mentioned, if you use Comic Sans for basically anything, it just looks bad. But, you know, like if you want to kind of give this like comic vibe, you have to use a typeface that, you know, fits that. So I made a video for our church a few years ago, and it wasn't a super good video, but it was, I think they were singing the song from, like I Lava You. I don't even remember what Pixar movie it was, but essentially I just, you know, filmed on our mission trip. So it was like this missions trip to Mexico, and I kind of filmed it and I compiled a really short video, and it was kind of really sweet and everything. And at the end, what it, you know, the, I guess Tijuana 2017 or whatever, what year it was, the typeface that came up. And like, so we're showing this in a, like a full auditorium, and like, okay, like this video actually turned out pretty good. Like, you know, this is the early days of when I was actually trying to put forth effort in my life as far as like, you know, like a content creator. And at the end, you know, it was a pretty good video. It wasn't great, but it was just the built-in text I used. And I think it was like Arial Black, totally clashed and just faded on screen. Awful. I was so embarrassed. I was just thinking, I cannot believe that I did that, that I put, I should have just put no text on the screen. But like I mentioned earlier, and we mentioned with that stock kind of sound, it's really amateurish looking if you use an ill-fitting typeface for, you know, like you can have everything looking good. You know, the camera quality is good, sound, lighting, everything. But if you, like, if the typeface does not fit, it takes the viewer out of it a lot more than I think people realize, because it can really drive a point home if it fits. And if it does not, if it clashes, then it really takes someone out of it. And or can be like me and just use the built-in crappy Arial like black, and it just looks, it's so embarrassing. No one probably cared, but I care enough to like still carry it with me like 4 years later. But yeah, basically just use those resources that Matt mentioned, especially if you're like me and don't know, because there's an art to typography and to using pairings a lot. I actually had a class on, I had like a typeface class in college. I wish I would have paid more attention in retrospect. I was like, ah, this is not going to benefit me. I make videos. Like, this is just, you know, text. If I knew then what I know now, I would have paid more attention. But yeah, man, I'll have to go on Google Fonts more often and Typewolf, definitely. So
I will throw in one other quick tip with that, which is if you don't want to go through the work of creating a pairing, and a lot of times that's even overkill for a lot of the stuff that I do. One simple thing I'll do to bump up the quality of the fonts that you're using in your video or other creative project, is go to Google Fonts and pick a very flexible typeface that has lots of weight. So a weight is like how thick or heavy it is. So it can go from very thin and light to very like heavy and bold kind of thing. So I pick something like Lato, L-A-T-O, or Open Sans, or Roboto, which is Google's font. And picking something like that, and then using like, you know, a thicker one for the headlines, or doing that in all caps, and then doing like a lighter one for the subtitles or the body text. Usually just doing that will dramatically step up the quality that you're doing, rather than like mismatching other system fonts or like you're saying, using some overused font that maybe looks like everyone else's.
Yeah, that's good. Man.
Cool. Along with that, another thing that I think is super overwhelming for people when they're starting out in any creative project, which carries over to videos as well, is just picking color schemes. It's so hard to pick colors that go together well and to avoid colors that clash well. And especially when you're working with text or graphics and other things, it can just waste a lot of time fiddling with colors, picking bad colors, and it can kind of take a while to learn. So it's really discouraging when you feel like you should be able to have colors that work well in your graphics or your videos or your creation, and it just doesn't work out well together. So there's just a handful of tools that I use to make it much, much easier to pick a good color and kind of take some of the guesswork out, especially when you're starting. And so I usually kind of bookmark or install these four things. So the first one that I usually use is something called ColorZilla. And this is a Chrome extension that you can put in your browser, and it just gives you a little eyedropper. So maybe you're on, you know, you're browsing around on a website and you see like, ooh, that color right there, or I like how they use, you know, this background right here. That really looks good with, you know, that gray with that shade of green. I really wish I could grab that. What it lets you do is you can go move your mouse up to that browser extension icon. You can click it and your mouse will turn into this cursor and it'll zoom in and you can go find the color and click it and it will save out the hex code, which if you don't know, a hex code is like this character combination of numbers and letters that basically is like a little short code for your color. So you can plug that in to any design tool, including something like Premiere or After Effects or whatever. You can paste that in and it'll switch the color over to that one that you saw and saved. And you can save that and use it in lots of different places. And it can be super easy to pull your own. And which is really great if you want to pull in a color from like someone's logo or from their website and they don't know what that color is. You can, it's no problem. It's just, oh, it'll take me 2 seconds. You just pop open your browser, go to their website, click ColorZilla, click it, and then you have their brand color. And
that's
you can
what
use
I used. Yeah.
All the time. Have you done this too?
I have. Yeah. That's like what I had it for. Like for clients, a lot of them don't, especially, you know, if they're not big companies, they don't necessarily know what, like what exact color red they are. We can just go on, get it, put it on like the text, put it on the logo. And they're like, wow, this is really cool. How did you do that? I didn't tell them. It's like, oh, I'm just a genius. But just using these tools makes it so cohesive and it just makes it looks good. I don't know. Like it just makes it look super professional. That's like the biggest thing.
Yeah, definitely. That's a huge thing as well. A couple tools that you can use if you are starting from scratch and you have no color scheme. So you don't have a client or you don't have a website. Maybe this is a personal project or they don't have or something totally new and you just don't have any colors to pick from. There are a couple resources that I like to use. One is called LOL Colors. And I'll have to find the link and put in the show notes. But this is just a collection of color combinations that have put together and upvoted. So you can go in and people can create like, you know, pair of five colors together. Oh, I think these colors look really good together. And then you can just use those in your design. You can say, oh, this one's the background color. This one's going to be the accent color. This one's going to go over here. And you have colors that play nice together and it's easy to make stuff look good and they won't sort of step on each other's toes and clash and all that bad stuff. And usually it looks pretty good. Even if you're just pulling a couple of those, they usually work well together. And you didn't have to come up with that. It's totally 100% someone else's idea. And the top upvoted ones are usually really good because a lot of people have sort of vetted that already for you, so you don't have to guess. The other one that I like to use when I don't want to guess but I'm starting from scratch is I like to use something called Google Material Design Color Picker. So if you didn't know, like have you ever noticed that like Google Calendar and Gmail and all these apps kind of look the same? They all sort of have the same colors. They have the same design. Google uses something for all of its software called Material Design. And so it's kind of made to look like sort of like this, flat, papery, colorful, but very functional kind of look. And so they have like an in-depth guide on how to make your apps look like that for all the people who make software on Google's platforms. And so really cool. They have this color tool where actually you can go in and pick any of their colors. So the Google, purple or red or pink or whatever, and it will automatically pick complementing colors and all the different shades that go with it for your project. So you can go in, just Google like material design color picking tool. And you can go in there and you can pick colors and just use Google's sort of color palette for that. And they've, put a lot of work into this and it's super easy to use. And that can be really, really easy because you have just a whole set and you don't have to worry about finding all the different accents and shades and all that stuff that a lot of people don't want to mess with when they're just trying to update the look and feel of their project.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more that I also like to use. When you're trying to, because maybe someone is saying, we want to use a blue, but they have no idea what shade of blue. And I don't know if you've had this experience, Jake, but it's like, oh, you're like, how hard could it be to find a blue that looks good? And then you go in there and you're like using like the crayon color, color picker, or you just have that circular thing where it goes from like white to black mm-hmm. to your color. And
it's
somehow,
so difficult to find like the one. Yeah.
You just wander around nightmare. In there and you end up with like the weirdest like Microsoft blue screen of death blue, like the worst possible one. And you put white text on it and it's not contrasty and it looks bad. And then you have to start over. It's just a nightmare. So one way to get around this is you can use something called Dribbble, Dribble, color search. So there's this website called Dribbble with three B's. And it's a sort of an online portfolio site for designers to show off their best work. And so you can go on there and look at all these cool illustrations and designs and animations that really good designers and creatives have done. And one of the ways you can search through these is actually by color. So you can go in and it has a pre-selected sort of palette of specific oranges and you know, you can search just all the orange portfolio pieces or all the blue ones or all the dark purple ones. And you can go in there and then you can use ColorZilla to pull the exact shade of purple or the different things that went into this illustration that a designer uses. And you can just, you don't have to steal their project at all. You should definitely not do that. But if you just really like the colors they use that went together for a certain project, you can use ColorZilla to pull those specific, that specific shade of purple with that specific shade of gray and that specific off-white. And there you go. You can use that in your animation and it'll look really good together if it looked really good in the still 9 out of 10 times. And so that's a good way to get sort of like a professionally curated color set without having to actually spend hours learning how to do that or hiring someone else to pick that for you.
Yeah. Man, I'm learning. I'm actually just like looking at these right now on my own when I should be talking. But man, there's so many good, there's a lot more color resources than I would have even imagined. Dang. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting sucked into the colors. Something else. So I mentioned earlier, I use a lot of still photos for my videos because since I use a lot of them for my fast food kind of parody videos. And so we have a whole list, but I'm going to get started off with just kind of, I guess it's not a website, it's more of a hack, but I actually just use, I just take screenshots of my screen, which is kind of janky, but it works. I mean, I use actually that a lot in my videos and I have a Mac. So it's just, I believe it's Command Shift 4, which, you know, you can just pretty much do like a little drop down kind of, you can pretty much just make your own dimensions of, say, for instance, I had a Cracker Barrel video, so I just wanted to...
And that's only on a Mac, right?
Yeah, it's only on a Mac. I think Snippet, I'm not really sure if there's a built-in one for Windows.
Yeah, there's like a Windows Snippet thing. You can just Google how to take a screenshot on Windows, and it'll show you the right combination on your keyboard.
But that's one of the easiest ways, because, say, like, you just want Kelly Clarkson's face that she was, like, inexplicably on Cracker Barrel's website, which I found... Okay, well, I just take a screenshot of it, put it really quick in my video. Also, I mean, it depends on the photo quality. So if it's like a super JPEG-y mess and you take a screenshot, obviously it's not going to look that good. But saves a lot of time if you just need like a super short graphic or something, you know, like that you just want to throw on there. Really easy to do. I use that a lot, actually. Other than Pexels, that's probably what I use the most. I just take screenshots of things I find are funny or of logos or of insert anything. Throw them in my video, put like a tiny movement on it, and I have my video. So... super kind of tip
and
for me.
Just to be clear, Pexels is for video, but it's also a, you can also search photos on there as well.
Yes,
right?
yeah, exactly. So Pexels, I use it, I guess, about equal, but they have really high quality. So the same thing with the video, really high quality stock video. Pexels also has pics, high quality stock pictures of anything. I used it for the pyramids, one of my video. You know, the Egyptian pyramid, Sphinx. Baseball, country, home cooking food, type in anything, search anything, so random, but you will probably be able to find something. And it's a lot, it just looks a lot better than say, oh, here's a picture. I just go to Google and just type in something, download a picture from the internet. Well, the dimensions are sometimes janky. And if you blow it up on, you know, to make it fit your, you know, video, it looks bad. It just looks low quality. Whereas the Pexels pictures, they just look great all the time. And again, that's something if you need basically just a background or something to just add a pop to your video, other than just like a static background of black or something. Say you want to have, you know, a picture of anything, like a happy couple. You just throw it in there. High quality. It looks good. Super cheap. Super easy. It's free. Super cheap. It's like the ultimate cheap. It's no money. So those are the two I use probably the most in my videos. And it's gotten me pretty far. And I even use it for some clients sometimes. So can't speak highly enough of those. I understand you have some more that you use, though. Can you kind of elaborate more on, you have a big list. Matt's the one with all the knowledge here. So he's the master. I'm the
grasshopper,
the understudy, the grasshopper. I was going to say the sensei. I was like, no, that's you're both the master and the sensei. I'm the grasshopper. So.
No, I don't know about that, but I do bookmark a lot of stock photo sites. And one of my favorite one, just for my sense of style and what I use stuff for a lot, is called Unsplash, UNSPLASH. And this is a great site where everything is 100% free for commercial or personal use. So you don't have to worry about fair use. You can go ahead and use it for whatever project without modifying it. And they're super high resolution. And they're very much like, they do not look like stock photos. So if you've ever seen like the cheesy one where everyone looks kind of washed out, or it looks like very plasticky and fake, these are not that. They look very worn in. They're very like hip. A lot of them have filters on them. Not like the Instagram heavy filters, but like, you know, they'll be like low contrasty. They'll be like very millennial-y kind of. So if you have a brand that is looking for that, or is looking for like nature photos, or they've actually expanded this a lot since I started using it. It actually just started as a Tumblr blog like a handful of years ago, and it's grown into this very large collection, and you can search it now, and there's all kinds of great stuff in there. So even if you're not looking for, it actually has a very good variety now. It has lots of good photos of people. It has really, just a really wide variety of interesting photos. So I'll usually go there first. The downside is, I find a lot of times I can't find as specific of photos, as if I'm using something like Pexels or an actual stock photo site that I'm paying for. So I'll usually go there to Unsplash first because I really like their photos. I think they're good. And then I'll go to like Pexels or some other stock photo site if I need something more specific and that's really tailored to the project. I also, there are lots and lots of subscription photo sites. So one that I've used is Death to the Stock Photo. And they just like, that's cool. I know, it's pretty funny. I think this is still around. But you can go and sign up for their email. They don't like publish these online, but you can get like a link email to you with that month's set of like 10 photos. And it's usually on a theme. So it's like coffee, and there'll be some local photographer somewhere who's done, you know, 10 really good not stock looking photos. That's of cool. Coffee, yeah. Or like skateboarding. So the downside is you can't really find that when you need it. But if you just need cool photos to use for some project in general, it doesn't really matter. Maybe using it for like free quotes or in some pump up video or something, that might be fine. But it's a helpful tool to have in your arsenal, and you can start kind of collecting photos you like. And so when a project comes up, you can move fast because you already have stuff saved. Another thing that I do a lot is learning to use patterns and sort of textures in my stuff. And this is something that's really been helpful because, you know, you've seen things that just look very bare, or they look too cluttered, or certain things. And so adding a subtle pattern to something, like if you're doing like a background for something, for like a title card, if you can add just like a subtle pattern or a subtle little nuance to it, that can make it look way better. Than if it was just like the flat color in a lot of cases. So there a few resources that I use for this. One is called just the Pattern Library. And so this is just like a small collection of fun, some simple patterns that you can take and use in whatever graphics tool that you like. So you can grab this pattern and put it in something like Photoshop or whatever and sort of use this, and then maybe you can make it the opacity a little bit less, or put in the background or tweak the colors a little bit, and you can use that to add a little bit of texture so your work isn't so one-dimensional. It can make your design look a lot more professional. Some other similar ones that I use for this are, there's one called Subtle Patterns that is very similar and also free to use and has a lot of great patterns in there. And then there is a designer that I really love his work, and I follow him. I'm called Steve Schoger.
Ooh.
S-C-H-O-G-E-R.
The Schogstein.
Yeah, he's really awesome. He has lots of great design and user interface tips on Twitter. If you follow him, he has great stuff to follow if you're into that. But another thing that he does is he creates sets of free icons and patterns that he just gives away, which is great. So he has this thing called Hero Patterns, which is really good. It's one of my favorites, Heroicons and Zondicons. And so if you're creating, if you need just like simple icons that are free to use and easy to get started, you can download his and start using them right away. It's really great to use.
Man.
As far as other icons that I use, I actually have even more icons that come up in projects. Because sometimes, whether it's in a presentation or in a video, you just need an icon. Sometimes it's more detailed. Sometimes it's more simple. So if you just need like a very simple, like kind of like, I need an outline of, you know, a dude surfing or whatever. One of the places you can go is something called the Noun Project. The whole purpose behind this is that you should be, the Noun Project, the idea behind it is that you should be able to go to this website and search for, you know, a noun, you know, swimming, and you should be able to find an icon that depicts that noun. And so you can go in there, and they're very simple, almost if you'd imagine kind of the icon that you'd see on like a traffic sign or like a PSA sign, you know, that's like, hey, kids, no surfing on the beach. A shark will eat you. You could find the icons for like waves and surfing and sharks.
That's cool.
And you kids, you know, whatever those icons are. And so you can grab those for free. You can grab those and use them with attribution. So you just got to put somewhere like at the end of your video or somewhere, you know, hey, you know, credit for this icon to this designer from the Noun Project. And that's great. It's easy to use. Or you can, if it's more professional, you can pay a couple bucks to be able to use that. Another site that I use, if I need more of a flat icon, so something that looks sort of has color in it or it has more detail than the noun icons that are very just kind of black and white, I go to a site called Icon Finder. So Icon Finder is great. A lot of their icons are paid for, so you have to pay a dollar or two for it. But I usually go to their search and I filter it by free. So I'm only seeing the free ones, not the paid icons. And then I will also check the box for flat because they have a lot of different styles and some of them I think are not so good. Some of them look kind of clip arty.
Yes, I'm actually looking at the website and some looks total. Yeah.
But if you check free and flat and then you search for something, so if you know free, flat, and then, you know, tool or computer or whatever, you can usually end up with some pretty good looking and usable icons that you can throw in your project. And maybe you're animating those in or you're putting in a design. But that can be really helpful in my experience to kind of have in your tool belt. And then I'm going to go ahead and throw in one other one here, which is if you are more of an advanced user, maybe you have some design experience or you're just looking to get something that looks a little bit more original or customize your icons, you can basically use an icon set. So some of these are free. You can Google around for like free vector icon sets. You want an icon in the vector form, which just means it's actually saving a collection of all the lines and the dots and how they interact with each other. So rather than say just like a little JPEG or PNG image where, you know, if you stretch it up to your entire screen or to a billboard height, you know, it'll look super blown out and pixelated. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I've done that.
Yeah, we've all done that and regretted it. But imagine if you just had the shape, you know, if you have like a PNG of like, you know, a square, well, that's a bad example, of my face, right? If you have a photo of my face and you blow it up to billboard size, it's going to be all pixelated and blurry. But what if you had like a drawing of my face that was all in lines? You could draw to stretch out the lines of that and make it billboard size. And those lines, as long as, you know, it's just the shape. That shape can scale up to be as small or as large as we need it to be. And that's what a vector does. And so you can use software like GIMP, G-I-M-P will do this for free, or Adobe Illustrator on the higher end. And you can use these vector files and resize them and put them in your videos. And one of the benefits of having the line files and having the colors saved in there is that you can actually swap out the colors on that. So if you have this icon set that looks really good, you can download that for a few bucks, or you can find some free vectors online. I think sites like Vecteezy, V-E-C-T-E-E-Z-Y, I think, and other sites will let you grab these. And so you can download these and then stretch them out. You can add text on top of it. You can change the colors and get something that looks more custom to your client or your project or whatever you're working on, even if, you know, off the shelf icons from other places won't quite fit the bill. So I do end up doing that a lot, actually, for like client work and things where I really want to go the extra mile to make sure that things are sort of tailor-made for them.
That's good. Man, dropping the truth bombs. I'm saving pretty much all of these to my browser.
Yeah, and we'll go ahead and create like a cheat sheet of all these resources and put them in the show notes. Yeah. We'll put those in the show notes so that you guys can access these and add them to all your bookmarks and get all these good stuff. Another thing, have you, Jake, ever run into this where you are like working on a design for a client or something, and then it looks really good, and then you look back and realize that you've like misspelled a word in the headline or the title? Has this ever happened to me?
And I've gotten emails from the client of like, oh yeah, this is a good video, but it's spelled wrong, which is really embarrassing.
Super embarrassing.
Yeah, no. Thanks for bringing up awful memories that I've repressed. But
bringing up your spell check trauma. but this could have been avoided if you had used a couple of these tools. One is called Grammarly. I'm sure a lot of you have used this or seen it before, but it's just basically like a spell check on steroids. It's really smart spell check, and you can install this in Chrome and other things. So even if you're using some online graphics tool or something else, or you're just working on text, you can, you know, get that checked in real time. Or a lot of things, one of the things I'll do is I'll write out the text I'm going to use in my design and copy and paste that into Grammarly.com, or they have like a desktop app I have on my Mac, and I'll just get that checked quick so that I don't have to go back and have the embarrassing experience of, you know, getting corrected because I didn't spell check my design. That's the worst.
Oh, man.
If you're doing longer text, where, you know, maybe you're working on a video script or you're doing longer form text, there is also a really good writing app called Hemingway. Have you heard of this or used it before, Jay?
I think you've told me about it. I've used Grammarly, but I've never used Hemingway. So why don't you explain that a little bit to me?
Yeah, definitely. So Hemingway, HEMINGWAY.com, is a site where you paste in the text that you're working on, and it will highlight in these bright colors the different things that you can correct. So it'll help you do things like make your sentence structure easier to read and simpler. It'll help you cut out common, like overused words. Like if you're using very a lot, you know, which is a word that's overused and usually doesn't add much impact to your sentence, it'll tell you to remove it. It will tell you if you're using words that are too long and complicated to come across, which doesn't mean you should always replace them, but in a lot of cases, it can make your writing more clear and understand and impactful to the viewer or the audience if you do use easy to understand words. And so most of the time, that's a good call. And it's good to at least know if you're seeing a lot of red and yellow in there, it means your writing probably hasn't been edited to be very direct and clear. And there's probably some things you can do in there by getting a buddy to look at it or by going back a couple times to really polish that up so that it really pops.
It's good. Man, you're dropping so many truth bombs. Last kind of main thing, and it all ties back to the very beginning of the podcast. You know how you mentioned that awful, disgusting stock news ticker that... So,
hello,
audio...
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what like it conjures up in me when I hear that. Audio is super important. We mentioned it on... I can't remember how many podcasts, but the quality of audio directly impacts your video. It needs to be high quality. So if you use any sort of music, any sort of background audio, anything, sound effects, you name it, it needs to be of good quality. It's really easy to tell. Even if you have never really made a video, you can probably pick out the overused stock sounds and sound effects, doors opening, and it makes it sound so janky. So here's a few free sites. YouTube has their creator studio. They actually have free stock music, and I believe it's sound effects. I have to look it up, but I think I actually use their music at the end and the beginning of my videos a lot. And it's really, there's a weird kind of thing. So you can go online and search free stock audio, and there's a lot of crappy websites, and they have like really, you know, pop-up-y kind of ads, like it's cancer. But it just sounds, there's stock music that sounds like stock music. There's just like this, it just sounds like it would be stock music. I can't really explain it any further, Matt. Like, does that make sense? It just like,
it
sounds bad.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not your best.
It's unappealing. So yeah. And well, how do you fix that? Okay, well, YouTube has some pretty good stock audio that I use a lot, actually, on my own YouTube videos. And you can search that. I believe they have sound effects as well. But something I use probably the most, especially on my client videos, is Wistia. So Wistia.com. They have a lot of really good, awesome resources. But they have a free albums that you can download.
Yeah, I think they have three of them.
Three of them now. Yeah, and
silly good.
They're really good. They're very, I guess it depends. So like if you're filming something for like maybe a monster truck rally, maybe this Wistia music really probably wouldn't fit, but it's very pop and almost kind of tech-ish. It kind of has the descriptions. I'm actually going to bring up my...
For business, so Wistia specifically, they're like YouTube, but it's more premium. Like if you don't want the YouTube recommended stuff in the ads, you can pay Wistia to host your video on your website and you get extra tracking and you can ask for people's emails in the video and all these fancy premium features. And they're really helping businesses use video to sell stuff, you know, on their website or to have a more professional appearance and track things. And so the music that they use here is perfect for people looking to use make quick business videos. And so if you're looking to do a quick product announcement or, you know, explain what your business does or do a customer testimonial, these are perfect to use sort of for intro or outro or for a voiceover or like kind of as an underlaying piece of music in the background to sort of set the tone for your video. It's great. And I've actually used this in the video project I mentioned for my first week at my new job, and it worked great. And I got compliments on the music that I chose because it sounds professional. It's really good, but it was 100% free.
Yeah, definitely. And like with anything, you could pay for some audio, and like maybe eventually I will once I run out of all the Wistia songs. Wistia. I used the audio. So I did some drone videos, actually a lot of them, and I just used the Wistia songs. And I think they only had like two albums out at the time. And the guy, because there's this one track I really, really liked. And I just used that for like a lot of the videos. Like, yeah, this is good. Do you have any other music? And I was like, oh man, I have to go to YouTube. But like, you know, I just supplemented that with the free audio on that. And yeah, it's just, it like with anything else that we mentioned, it sets apart your video by just having that extra kind of kick, having a music bed that doesn't sound like generic, disgusting music that fits with your video. It sets the mood. So if you have like some kind of poppy, techie, you know, startup-y music, it just makes the video so much better as opposed to just having no music at all or something that, which is probably worse, music that does not fit. So yeah, use those. The audio library that they have, I did check. They do have sound effects as well. And sound effects are a huge way to also add kind of that extra pop to your videos, to add more life to them, to make them more interesting. And they have a lot. You can just search in the search bar and thousands upon thousands of free sound effects and free music. I use that all the time. So jump on that. And
I have a quick one to throw in here as well. And I actually copied this from Casey Neistat, who's one of the top YouTubers. He does a daily vlog. So he is always looking for original music because he's cranking out a video every single day. And what he does is he will go to SoundCloud, which is a website where people can upload music that they have created. And there are a few options for people who upload those tracks. They can say, hey, I just want people to listen to this and give me props, you know, and check it out. But I don't want them to use it in other stuff. But some people will upload and say, hey, you can use this music in your projects as long as you give me credit, right? So as long as you give a link back to the song or mention at the end of your video or your presentation or whatever that, you know, put the name of the song and put the artist, to attribute it back to me so that you can help spread the word, which is a great thing. And a lot of people do that. So you can go to SoundCloud's website and you can go to the search and you can filter for only people that have enabled Creative Commons or attribution, you know, which means that, you know, you can use that song as your music bed or as your background music or as your intro music or wherever. And as long as you just put in a little title card at the end or a link in your description, you make sure that your viewers know that you didn't do that music, that this awesome creator did, and they should know who that is. You can use that, and it's a great source of original music, especially if you're into specific genres and you're looking for something fresh. This can be a great way to find a wide variety of music, and still get the benefit of that custom music without popping out, you know, like, you know, $15, $30, even more, you know, just for a single track of audio, which can just get bonkers expensive.
Yeah. And you know, like you mentioned certain genres. From what I've been able to find, or I guess not find, say if you want to use some like kind of hip hop or rap kind of stock sound music, it's really hard to find any that sounds not cartoonish and like a bad, I don't know, like it just sounds like 2001, like Nelly kind of like trip hop, just it, stock hip hop kind of music. I have not really been able to find good quality. But if you go on SoundCloud, you will be able to find kind of that genre, or, you know, like hard rock, anything. So like in Wistia, or, you know, on like the creative comp, yeah, the YouTube, sorry, like the YouTube kind of library, there are like some genres that, you know, are well kind of represented. But sometimes if you want something in like a certain genre that's kind of tougher to find, SoundCloud would be definitely the place to go. So,
yeah. So if you want your monster talk, you know, heavy rock music, go to SoundCloud and find it. Or I use it a lot for hip hop as well. That's a really good place to find that. Awesome. Also say, just if you like these resources, one place that I go to find other resources, whether it's, you know, tools, apps, other things, is producthunt.com. And I like to go like once a week and just check out the top voted products. And so sometimes it'll be an ebook or a site to lots of free resources. So I'll go check those and I'll save those in my bookmarks. And that's one of the ways that I find a lot of these. The other thing is just by asking other creative people that I work with. I say, hey, where do you find, you know, hey, that's a really cool design you did. How did you make that? You know, where did you get the idea for that? Are there any tools or resources or templates that you were inspired by to use that? And that's another good way to find those tips. So I think that's all we got for resources. Jake, was this like a helpful rundown of some stuff that you can actually use to create stuff?
I think it was awful. No, it was awesome. I learned so much, and I'm saving all of these to my bookmarks, especially on colors, colors and just photo designs and patterns. I don't know. I can go through a list, but super informative. Feel free to use all these guys. I'd recommend and I would suggest just trying these out and just messing around with stuff. But yeah, dude, I learned a whole lot.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, Jake, what should the people know about reviews?
They should give us one. They should give us a 5-star review. Leave us feedback. We really value your feedback. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe if you like it. But feedback is really important to us. That way we know what we can do better, what we can improve on.
And especially if you do go leave a 5-star review right now, I would love to know where you fall, because this is apparently a very heated debate on like still water versus sparkling water.
Ooh.
You know, and until we start our new podcast that's all just about,
it's sparkling, all about water, sparkling water
for 2 hours every week, I'd love to know how people feel about this, honestly and truly, from the depths of their hearts. Are you like a still water person?
Still water, a sparkling, or water? A Norman.
Yeah, in spirit of
Oklahoma
me.
Humor.
And my epic, you know, sparkling water wipeout. Where do you fall on that? Let us know in your review.
Definitely. And I'm really craving some sparkling water right now, by the way. My room is 9 million degrees for some reason, and some sparkling water sounds super good.
I know. So we'll crowdsource some feedback on whether sparkling water is still socially acceptable.
Good. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, I think that about wraps things up.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Cool. Rock and roll.
Learn ya. All right. See ya. Peace out.